Yes, good morning, dear listeners. Good morning, dear listeners. Welcome to Early Morning Scoop with me, David Shombe. And it's the right time to thank Matia Sangala. And yeah, wherever you are finding yourself, I hope you are having a beautiful morning. And, it's always very important to wake up with a motivation and, set your priorities very clear. What do you want in life? What do you want to achieve in the next 5 years? What are some of the plans? What have you done right and what have you done wrong? And what is the future looking like? Having a clear plan is one of the best things that we can do in life, and also one of the best things that we can also advise each other in life. But however, on top of that, it's also very important to look at actions, because we can think about good things, but when it's coming to actions, it's quite a very different thing. And also the aspect of procrastinating, I'm going to do it tomorrow, I'm going to do it next week, until you find yourself you are already 75 years old and you are a grandpa, and that is life full of regrets. So let us look ahead. And see what you can do today. What the best can we do, even if you're having a bad day? So, at Early Morning Scoop, this is your morning economic development conversational program. It's your morning economic development conversational program. It's a program that we look at various aspects of economy, what is affecting our economy, the issues of bread and butter. We look at trade, we look at political decisions which are affecting our economy, we look at issues of young people, issues of which need critical attentions. We look at natural resources distribution, and many other aspects which affect bread and butter issue. Because we are saying, when it's coming to the economy, the economy is the center of mankind, because there has always been scarcity of resources. There has been always distribution of resources. And indeed, different formulas and ways on how you distribute, economic resources. And there has always been issues of trade relations, issues of negotiations, and also issues of, addressing. Let's go to the show.
At ShopRite, we're celebrating 35 years of lower prices with unbeatable deals. Let's mark the occasion with savings on essentials like 2 kg Real Good Chicken, frozen mixed chicken portions for just $89.99. 2 kg King White Sugar, only $39.99. Valid until 17 August 2025. Don't miss out on these deals. ShopRite, lower prices you can trust, always. Stand to win your groceries for free at ShopRite. Buy any 3 participating products. Find the unique code on your till slip. WhatsApp it to us and see if you're a winner. Plus, there are instant daily prizes to be won. Only at ShopRite.
Yes, we are continuing with Early Morning Scoop with me, David Shombe. And it has always been the case. This is where we discuss issues of bread and butter. We analyze domestic affairs, and we also look at what's happening outside Namibia, and also how are these, events which are happening around us affect the way we do business. Where are we standing in terms of the economy? How is our financial stability? How is, our global relations with the world? And how can Namibia position itself in this changing, global economy? Who is our friends? Who is, not our allies in terms of trade? Are we still a friend to all and enemy to none? Why, if that is the case, we still have, a lot of challenges that most of them have been around for quite some time. Some of them since 1990. And These are some of the things that we discuss at this platform. That's why we always make sure that, you know, after we bring about every conversation, we always make sure that we open the line so that you can engage us in the studio, so that you can call us and give your opinion, give your views about matters, and also ask, you know, questions, because we believe that, you know, we are not one-directed conversation, but it's a conversation which is accommodative. It's a conversation which, you know, require ideas and views of others, because this is where we discuss issues, where we have our own, you know, honest opinions. You know, it could be that you are somebody who has more experience in the area that we are discussing about. It could be somebody, it could be that you are somebody who have practical experience in the area that we are discussing about. Maybe you are a researcher. Maybe you wrote even books about the topic that we are discussing about. Or maybe you are a lecturer on a certain college or university teaching about things that, you know, we discuss about. We have more insight on that. That is exactly what we want. That is exactly what you want, because your contribution does not only, you know, contribute to those who are listening, but is contributing to the development of the country, because discussions influence decisions. Discussion can also lead people to think and rethink about, you know, policies, and also rethink about what people see and what are the better ways on advancing, you know, the land of the brave. How can we achieve total development, not only in terms of the economy, but total development of the Namibian people, where development is not only defined by how tall the buildings are or how good the roads and railway connections are, but the development which can influence the happiness of individuals, the attainment of the basic needs, and indeed the prolonged and healthy lives of Namibians. So yeah, before we go to the conversation for today, as it has always been the case, we are always indicating to you that, dear listeners, Sora is very crucial to make sure that you connect with us, like our page, share our page, Eagle FM Namibia, at all our social media platform, that is Facebook, X, LinkedIn, and Instagram. When you do that, you don't miss out when it's coming to economic, you know, updates, economic conversation. What are the latest economic insight? What are the latest economic intelligence reports saying? Where is Namibia going? What are the problems? What are the opportunities? What are the events which are happening, particularly those which are at the center of national development? And how can you partake there? And you can only do that when you connect with us. You can only do that when you connect with us, when you like our page, you share our page, because those who are following you will also be able to follow us, and their life will become more easier because of the power of information, and also the power of, you know, economic insight, so that they can be able to make those long-term business decision, those long-term economic decision based on data. So, apart from liking our page, Eagle FM Namibia, at our social media platform, we have the Villager newspaper, we have our e-paper, that is economic paper, that is always coming out every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. And we're always indicating to you that if you are a student of economics, you are a researcher, you are a development enthusiast, and you are interested in national and international development, you are a business person, you are somebody who want to have a life based on right economic decisions, don't miss out. Don't miss out, because the Villager newspaper is your go-to-go newspaper, because it's coming out every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, and we have latest economic insight. We talk about mining, talk about trade, talk about food security, talk about, you know, global relations. We talk about SME development, talk about policies, financial institutions, statistics, and everything that is related to the bread and butter issue. So make sure that you subscribe to the Villager newspaper. Make sure that you subscribe to the Villager newspaper. Send your name to 0812414444 081-241-44. Send your name to that number. Save that number. So what's in your WhatsApp contact. And it will make your life more easier in terms of how you deal with business, how do you deal with economic affairs, because you will be sent the Villager newspaper every Monday, Wednesday, and indeed on Friday. Apart from that, it's also very crucial. It's also very crucial to make sure that in a situation that you find yourself unable to connect with us on a normal radio, you can download our app. We have one of the most effective app that you can use, not only in Namibia, but you can also use it when you're outside, because it's an app that operates exactly like WhatsApp. You can just go to Play Store, App Store, download the Eagle FM app, put it in your phone, and when you open it, you automatically listen to the programs which are on air, and you also have access to previous programs, because in a situation that, you were busy, but the topic that was discussed at that time, or you just heard that, oh, there was a very interesting topic that was discussed, or you have interest in the topic that was discussed, but you were busy doing something of equal importance, you can only do, you have an opportunity to go back to the podcast, but then you listen to the program at your own time, at your own pace, and, you get all the information that you want. And apart from the app, Eagle FM app, we can also get connected to Imba app. Imba app is also a digital version of a hymn book that you can download. Just go to App Store, Play Store, download the Imba app, and it will make your life more easier and you work smart due to advancement in terms of digitalization. People have changed. The world has changed. You don't need to carry a hard copy hymn book anymore to save time and space, and also to be so effective enough. Just download Imba app. And when you do that, it's more easier for you to access the digital version of a hymn book. With our Shwambo speaker, we have a Hangano, English, Cherero, Maimburiro, Afrikaans, Silozi, and many other local Namibian languages. So, download Imba app, make your life more easier, work smart enough, and save time, space, and it's going to be more easier to concentrate on other things, because we are always indicating to say, you know, sometimes you are called to a wedding, you are called to a graduation party, you are called to send off, you are called to a retirement, party. And there's always a situation that you need to sing from a hymn book, we need to give these blessings. But it will look weird when you are not following where people are singing. But for you to counter that in a very professional way, in a very intelligent way, actually, just download the Imba app, and it's going to be more easier to you. And you can follow through. Even when you are a pastor and you forgot your hymn book or you gave it to somebody, instead of you get confused, scratching your head and running back home or driving back home to get your hymn book, you know, just take your phone, go to Play Store, App Store, download Imba app, and you are sorted. Dear listeners, for those of you who are coming on the radio for the first time, you are listening to Early Morning Scoop with me, David Shombe. And we are here until the hour of 8. And in the meantime, we are going to be having a guest who is going to be discussing about the topics that we are going to discuss about, particularly when it's coming to the reflection of International Youth Day. What have happened there? What did Namibian young people celebrate it about? What did they say about, youth policies? What are their views about the ministry, particularly one of the most combined ministries that has huge responsibilities? What are the tangible, evidence that are showing that the issues of young people have been addressed? What are the shortcomings, and what need to be done also from the perspective of young people? Because if or in a situation You know, Africa has the youngest population. That is undeniable. Africa has the youngest population, where around 70% of these young people are below the age of 30. And compared to other world, Africa is a good opportunity for economic, economic boost. But the problem is that those who are active are not active in the economic part. And that is where we are going to look at. And that is also where we are also going to ask questions to say, yes, majority of the young people have a lot of challenges. We can actually mention all the social problems they are at the center of young people. All the social problems at the center of young people. But apart from institutions, because what is coming from the young people also, what are they doing right and what are they not doing right? Because that is where we need to look at, because if we are not looking at that, we are not going to address the issue. We are not going to address the issue. And, one of the speakers yesterday at Oyeren Gesami said, this thing of business is like you're in a relationship. You are just saying, no, you are not listening to me. But are you also listening to what a person is saying? But that is where we are going to look at. So, before we go to that topic, we are going to update you a little bit on what's happening around the world on international affairs. But for now, let's go to a commercial break. Then from there, we'll look at what we have. So stay tuned. We are here till eight in the morning, and stay tuned. And we are also going to give you an opportunity to give your contribution, to ask your questions, give your views, and let's see how we can build Namibia from all the fronts that we are finding ourselves. It can be in the media, it can be in academia, it can be in private sector, it can be in public sector, it can be an NGO, it can be an independent individual with your independent views, and your contribution is always valuable. Your contribution is always valuable, because there is no wrong and right, answers. But particularly when it's coming to expressing your opinion, but there are perspectives, depends on where you are coming from. And that's why we can only come to the conclusion when we see where you are coming from. Why are you reasoning like that? Why are you thinking like that? And how can we educate each other and also meet each other halfway in order to address issues that are very critical, issues that are very critical, issues that are affecting bread and butter, and issues that are affecting national and also regional development. So yeah, let's go to commercial break, then we can
Namibians, ShopRite is turning 35. You've trusted us for quality products at low prices, and we thank you. It's now time to celebrate with big birthday specials on everything in store, such as 1 kilo bag Sunlight 5-in-1 hand wash powder, just 39.99 Namibian dollars. 400 ml Vaseline body lotion or cream, 49.99 Namibian dollars. Check your tail slip for a possible win. ShopRite, 35 years of value you can trust always.
No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app to tune into live Eagle FM programming or to listen to podcasts or previous broadcasts. Eagle FM, Namibia's number one talk radio station.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of failure.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You're the person who doesn't have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura menace.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6%.
different is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before. It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past, and it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Great news. Imba just got even better. We have added brand new features to make your experience smoother, faster, and
We are continuing with Early Morning Scoop, and with me, David Shombe. That is a program that we look at the economic conversation, what is affecting our bread and butter issue, what is happening at the global front, what is happening at the global front. Let us look at the international relations. It was indicated that Namibia, through the Ministry of International Relations, has condemned. The plan of Israel to take over Gaza City, as it was indicated, the attacks of Israel is intensifying, and Israel Security Cabinet plan to take control of Gaza City. And for those of you who follow the invasion of Israel in Gaza, you will be able to understand what have been happening. What had been happening, how many people were killed, and just recently, not 3 days ago, 5 of Al Jazeera journalists were killed by Israel airstrike. They were killed by, drone airstrikes, and the Israeli Defense Force did not deny what they did. And one of the well-known journalists in Gaza, who had been updating people, particularly the Arab world, have been shot or killed by the drone. And there is a lot of concern about the situation. If the international community is going to do anything, if international community is going to do anything, because 5 of them were killed. But when you look at the list of journalists which have been killed in Gaza, the numbers are uncountable. And our ministry or our government stand a position, and also looking at how international communities can support and stop the killing or the attempt to take over the Gaza City. And maybe just to listen, particularly when it's coming to those who were killed, particularly to listen about the situation of journalists who were killed in Israel, and
Broadcaster said that the strike hit a tent for reporters outside the Al Shifa hospital. Al Jazeera described the attack as punishment for Al Sharif's extensive reporting from northern Gaza. Israel claims he was the leader of a Hamas cell planning rocket attacks, something strongly denied by the Qatar-based news organization. Also killed in the strike was another Al Jazeera correspondent, Mohammed Kariki, along with cameraman Ibrahim Zahir, Mohammed Nufal, and Moaman Aliwa. Well, in a moment, I'll be speaking to the managing editor of Al Jazeera. Before that, though, reaction from our international...
Yes, that is what's happening. The tent of a journalist was destroyed in Gaza. And if war came to the situation or to the point where even journalists are getting killed, that is becoming a catastrophic. It's no more war, because what you need to understand is that war, there are also laws that are governing war. There are also laws that are governing war. That's why when you look at, for example, what is happening between Russia and Ukraine, a lot of people are saying, no, Russia cannot, it's very difficult for Russia to take over Ukraine. There are laws that are applied even at conflict. But if you are killing journalists, if you are killing women, civilian, pregnant women and children, then it's out of order. And international laws are very clear about the rules of engagement. How can you enter into to war, what weapons you should use. That's why there are always, talks to say, these are the levels of power that you're going to use. And if you come to the position where even those who are giving news, you are killing them, even women and children, pregnant women, animals, then it's becoming catastrophic. It's no more war. It's becoming more than a genocide. And we see how is the future going to look like? How is the future going to look like? And how is this situation will affect how we do things? And how it will affect also the global trade relations, and how it's also going to affect the way we do things at home. And are we just going to continue condemning? Is the world only going to continue watching, or something is going to be done? I think that is something that need to be looked at and also learn, because they are saying when somebody is in trouble, so it's very important also to learn, because most of us, when somebody is in trouble, what we do, we laugh, and we don't want to learn, because it could be a lesson that we need to learn from. What is the meaning of conflict, and how should we avoid that? So yeah, looking at, I think it's also very crucial to look at, the recent foreign direct investment intelligence report. The recent foreign direct investment intelligence report, which, is indicating that Namibia became, one of the highest, one of the countries in the world with highest foreign direct investment, particularly when it's coming to Greenfield Index of 2025. It's one of the highest countries to get foreign direct investment. And this Greenfield Index of 2025 is stating that the Namibia move up to 10 places from the previous year, and outperforming its due portion of FDI projects, which means that the world is looking at us, the world is investing in us, and there is a lot of foreign direct investment coming into Namibia, particularly in the area of energy. You look at issues of green hydrogen. You look at oil and gas. There is an ongoing conference, actually, of oil and gas, where Namibians are investors and external investors, companies, young people, academia, researchers are attending the 4-day event. That is a conference where everybody is here in Namibia, particularly those with money, those with international businesses. Talk about Shell company, talk about Sonangol from Angola. You talk about the Nigerians are here. Talk about United Arab Emirates are here. Egyptians, Kenya, investors are here in Windhoek. They are discussing issues on how to deal with oil and gas, particularly issues that are regarding how we can get Namibian businesses getting involved in the value chain of oil and gas. What can we do? And it's always very important to make sure that you follow this development, get credit of information. Now, coming back to FDI intelligence report, the report is very interesting, because it's further stated that the new discoveries of oil and gas in Namibia has a potential to turn around the Namibian economy. However, regardless of this, Namibia is faced with a very difficult situation of inequality. So it's stated that despite having abundant of natural resources and a population of just 3 million people, the country continue to be among the highest unequal nations in the world. We with highest unemployment and economic inequality. Now, that is it's a FDI intelligence report about what it has been done. What we are trying to indicate here is that in terms of money coming into Namibia for investment, in terms of the interest, everybody is here investing in Namibia. But the question is, how is Namibians going to benefit from this? That's why it's always very crucial to look at where we are standing. And looking at what government officials, senior politicians have said yesterday, looking at judging from the speech of the CEO of Namibia Investment Promotion Development Board, Mmenangula Wanja, said, guys, I know we are here for the discussion and conversation, but please, let us consider Namibians who are going to bed hungry. That is what she said. And she said it very clearly to say, let us consider Namibians who are going to bed hungry. Then the question is that how are these negotiations going to take place? How are these business deals going to be closed? And who is going to benefit more? Those are questions that we need to ask ourselves. There's a strong stand from the government to say, enough is enough. Namibians must benefit from the oil and gas. Namibians must benefit from oil and gas. And the president said, we are monitoring the activities through the speech which was delivered by Meme Cornelia Shirunga, who is a special advisor and head of oil and gas upstream unit in the office of the presidency. And the position which is taken by Namibian government is understandable. But the question is that, what are the laws saying about engaging in oil and gas businesses? How are you going to sit on the table? How many times we lost negotiations, particularly when it's coming to business deals? How are we going to make sure that you have equal shares in the oil and gas industry? Because everybody is here. The financial sectors are here. The contractors are here. Those are the questions that we need to ask ourselves. And in terms of that report, I think it's high time now we understand what's happening around. And those who are grabbing opportunities and opportunity grabbers, ethical opportunity grabbers, now is a time to look at the oil and gas and also see what information can you get. How are you going to move? So those are some of the critical conversation that we need to look into, and also see how we can enter that space. So
stock up for August with real value at WB. Get a 2-liter Pepsi now for a sweet $14.99. 750 ml WB cooking oil for only $26.99. 1 kg Sunlight hand wash powder for just $36.99. And 50 High Baby active diapers at only $124.99. See all our real value deals at www.vurmanbrock.com. We care.
Who are we, you ask? The National Road Safety Council is a statutory body established in 1996 with a legal mandate to promote and manage road safety across Namibia. We believe every accident is preventable and every life is precious. Our mission is to make our roads, vehicles and users safer based on effective road safety management. So, join our unwavering vision and commitment to zero deaths and serious injuries. Visit www.nisc.org.na to learn more. Do the right thing and save lives.
Want to know about Namibia's latest business and economic news?
Yes, and those are the questions that we need to ask ourselves, particularly when it's coming to oil and gas. When it's coming to our involvement, how can we involve in oil and gas? What business do we need to get into? And the best thing is to get information, start getting information. Don't just go and say, I want to get involved in oil and gas. Where are you starting? What are the skills that you have? Because there is explanations of how the value chain is working. Where can you get into? Not everyone is going to be at the extraction site. Some are going to be in business. Some are going to be in logistics. Some are going to be service delivery. You can be a legal person. You can deal with issues of contracts, issues of, legal advice. You can be a technical person and many other things. And what I like about the speech of the Deputy Prime Minister and the Minister of Industries, Mines and Energy, Natangwe Ithethe. What I like about the speech is that he made it very clear, particularly when he spoke. He spoke about things that other countries went through, particularly those who have oil and gas, when they became victims of their own resources, when they continue to be poor and poorer. And he also advised other leaders to say, oil money is can vanish, but the national building must be a priority. And say, no, guys, talking to investor, we welcome you, but you must operate at our own terms. Those are very good words that they indicated. But the question that we need to ask is that, how practical is our political communication? Or are they gaining just a political capital? Because it's one thing to communicate and it's other thing to put it in action. Because in Namibia we have done already. With communication we are done. We are good. With PR we are very good. That one we must take that award. But on the ground, how is it going to work? Are you only going to say that, or do we have laws that are saying that? So yeah, let's not divert from the conversation for today. Let us not divert from the conversation for today. As I indicated earlier on, that at the center of the national development are active young men and women, which are, those are the youth. And based on the National Youth Council Act 3 of 2009, a young person is somebody from the age, or a youth is somebody from the age of 16 to 35. And when you are personifying Namibia, as we are standing 35-year-old Namibia, by next year Namibia, if you are, personifying it, the country, she's going to be no more a youth, but an adult, beyond 35. And, if you are putting into that context to say, looking at, Namibia as a country which has been, independent for the past 35 years, what is the condition of a Namibian young person? What is the condition of a Namibian young person? And, what are the issues which have been addressed, particularly when it's coming to young people? And what are the things that have been done for young people? And what did young people do to contribute to the national development? Because it must go both ways to say, what are they doing right? What are they doing wrong? How can they do what is right? And how can the system and the institutions of governance accommodate them and become part of, economic development actors? Where are the young people? This is a question that we need to ask ourselves. Where are we? Are we at church? Are we in the club? Are we in the bus? Are we at the sport field? Are we at universities? Are we in the street? Are we? Where are we? That is a question that also we need to look at. But not dilute the conversation. We are going to reflect on National Youth Day, and also International Youth Day, which was recently celebrated. And joining me is none other than, Simon Hadula, who is known in the space of, NGO, frontierism, and also youth empowerment. Although youth empowerment is a very broad concept that has been used particularly by politicians across the board, but that is a concept I can use, being in the area of youth upliftment and motivating them, and also doing groundwork. And it's also very crucial to listen to Simon Hadula and look at where we can fit in, how we can also, contribute to this conversation. So stay tuned. We are here until the hour of 8 o'clock.
Great news! Imba just got even better. We have added brand new features to make your experience smoother, faster, and more powerful than ever before. Ready to unlock the full potential of Imba? Get all exclusive features for just $36 a month, or save even more with our special subscription plans. 5% discount for 3 months subscription, 10% discount for 6 months subscription, and 25% discount for 12 months subscription. Choose the plan that works best for you and start enjoying everything Imba has to offer at an unbeatable price. Imba, where the world congregates. Download it and subscribe today.
Want to know about Namibia's latest business?
Yes, dear listeners, we are continuing with Early Morning Scoop. We are looking at economic development. We are reflecting back, particularly when it's coming to youth development in Namibia. On Monday, Namibia celebrate the National Youth Day. And also on Tuesday, there was a celebration of International Youth Day. And, it's always very important. It's always very important, especially when it's coming to understanding of the situation of Namibian youth. And also, if there have been progress which have been made for the past, 35 years, or it's just business as usual, or it's just talks after talks, because when you look at the statistics, youth are not on the good side. And for me to unpack this, I got into the conversation with Simon Hadura. Simon Hadura is the founder of Hadura Charity Foundation. He has been in youth development for quite some times now. And he is going to join us, this morning, especially when it's coming to what is the state of Namibian youth, what is the progress of what can be done, and how can Namibian young people be at the center of development. Simon Hadura, good morning, and welcome to Early Morning Scoop. How are you doing?
Good morning, David. I'm doing very good. It's always an honor and a privilege to come here and speak about important topic that not only resonate with the youth but that we are so passionate about, because such topic of youth affairs is something that we should take seriously. So I'm very happy to be here.
Mm-hmm. Now you were part of you attended the Youth Day, the National Youth Day, and also International Youth Day in Namibia. Maybe just let us look at the reflection of a Namibian youth for the past 35 years, particularly when you attended that event. What are some of the things that you have seen that they are done right? And what are some of the things that you think are still a struggle, particularly to the young people in Namibia, before we move forward?
Okay, thank you very much. The topic mostly talks about sports and education.
Mm-hmm.
So I can tell you that when we had the first consultative dialogue, one of the delegates from the foreign countries questioned that our when you look at the Ministry of Youth, Education, Sports, Culture, that comes to the questions like, it's a very long ministry, like putting education and sport under one ministry, that has make all of us to put our eggs in one basket, which we did not get the feedback from the government as to why was that thing faced. Now it's like sport and education, they are in a polygamy marriage, and one ministry will have to suffer at the hand of that. Because if I can tell you, David, right now, is that you cannot, as a government, put a sport education under one ministry. Those are very key elements of this. That's why, as much as the government is trying to address education, but having the Minister of Education and Minister of Youth and Sports as one ministry, it really doesn't speak to the need of addressing it, because unless you allocate each ministry, and that is one of the challenges that we've seen throughout the course of the interventions, like even to pronounce the ministry itself is difficult, not even to talk about achieving the objective.
So you are saying from pronunciation of the ministry, it's already a difficult thing. When it's come to an objective, it's a very difficult thing already. So now let us look at No, I want you to give me a picture of what happened at that event, apart from foreign delegates speaking about, the difficulty, particularly when it's coming to, addressing youth affairs, addressing education, and also addressing issues which, lies behind that ministry with higher, much, much responsibility, particularly at the point where Namibia, Namibia needs to address youth issues. What were some of the conversation apart from that in the youth?
The conversation was, they say, the National Youth Fund.
Yeah.
The National Youth Fund. No, the National Youth Fund is really speaking about giving money to young people to start initiatives. But when you look at the past 35 years, Namibia is people who have produced a lot of white-collar professional jobs, which means nurses, teachers, and all of it. But our country now says, without us having a viable entrepreneurship programs for the past 35 years, we just have a fund. Instead of having a fund to assist our unemployed teachers, unemployed nurses, we are having a youth fund that talks about businesses. But when you look at how many youth are running businesses, they are really very few. And then even the ministry, they did not give us a visibility study as to what prompted National Youth Fund. What prompted, how many young people are in the businesses? And in terms of really the tangibility, it's really, they are saying 257 million, but there's no threshold or breakdown really that can determine this. And one of the things that people talked about, it was about like reducing unemployment. David, for the last 35 years, it has been a song we have been all singing together. Say that we are going to reduce youth unemployment. Different strategies. Is it really possible? Like, and then we need to hold the government accountable in terms of the consistency of the plan. Because today we have NDP-5 enforced around. Nobody holds it accountable. Tomorrow, now we have NDP-6. Then the next year we might wake up with NDP-7. Now, where do we draw the line between these sustainable development goals and the national development goals to really make sure that, let's not just come up with a lot of documentation. Let us, we finish NDP-6. Because I don't know how far did we go with NDP-5, but NDP-6 was the one that was emphasized more, that looks more on agriculture, that looks more on skills development, that looks more on infrastructure. But tomorrow we can wake up in NDP-7, because I think our government needs to have the consistency that we don't need to move from NDP-1 to NDP-100.
We
need to achieve all the sustainable goals.
Simon, we are going there. I want also to get a picture to say what are the Namibian people saying, especially at the National Youth Day. You spoke about trying to critically analyze the youth fund, the viability of this, and what prompted, the youth fund, and if it's going to solve the problem. Now, the other question which I also have, did Youth Day spoke about the National Youth Policy 1 and 2, and also youth developmental plans, because, when you look at when the minister, former minister Shongarero was there, there was introduction of a supplementary or another national youth policy. Did the discussion, particularly on the youth day, spoke about that, or we just go straight to the National Youth Fund?
I think we know. I'm not really sure, but it really did not. It really could not touch most of it, because on the national youth day that was hosted at the Diama yesterday, the deputy minister spoke about the 9.8 billion that is allocated to young people for the 5 years or this. But in terms of like the policies and all that was not really touched much. It's mostly about the fund and how young people can be involved in the discussion, and not just to say that no. Also, young people, not just to really say that we are holding the government accountable, but one of the things that they said was that was highlighted, like, it's very important that to also, what do you have in your hand? Because one of the delegates used a scenario that was like when one disciple played to God, they said, what do you have in your hand? Saying that sometimes as the youth fund is also coming out, let us not just request for funding or have generic programs, I think it's very important for young people to really say so. It's 257 million that is set aside for young people. So young people should also now come up with initiatives and how we could, how we should, how we should scrutinize this fund. But I think for me, one of the biggest point that we can really highlight that can reduce youth unemployment, David, I think is sport. I don't know how much do you think is sport really, prioritized in Namibia. Because if you look at other countries like South Africa, youth unemployment, it's very easily defeated there because you can just today decide you are not going to school. You can be a rugby player. You can do all that.
Then you can make money. So now, before we go there, you know where I want us to look? Let us look at it this way. Did the National Youth Day and also International Youth Day, which you all attended, spoke about young people in leadership, particularly in politics and private sector? I'm asking this question because for the past 35 years, we cried to say, no, young people must get to parliament, for example, must get strategic position. Then it happened. Did the National Youth Day and International Youth Day also spoke about the contribution of those young people who are at strategic positions, or what did they do to other young people, and what did they do to the children of the country? Did the day spoke about that, or it was not discussed?
I think Kenya, who's the member of parliament, also really gave a brief analysis when he was given the opportunity by Honorable Dino Baloti Honorable Hamutenya, who's the member of parliament.
Oh, okay.
He gave an example and said that he stepped from the grassroots structure in the SWAPO party to the, until now that he said he's in the central committee and he's now into parliament, encouraging young people. And also using an example of Emma Theophilus, who was also part of NANSO and who also championed the developmental agenda and went and was appointed into parliament. Also advise young people that no, the aim must not just be parliament as young people or occupying political positions. We will encourage on that day that as young people, we can become change makers in a lot of aspects of life. And as the day really also invest us young people and hold us really accountable of things that we must not just aim for parliament, but we must become change makers. We must also be part of the change and the part of the discussions where young people really, we are the constituents.
Okay, while we are there, did he speak about the contribution that he did in the parliament recently regarding young people, or he just advised to say we must not focus in parliament?
No, he just advised us and said we must not focus on parliament. We must also make tangible differences because even him, his destination was not in parliament, but through interventions, let's say, meaningful, if you aim for parliament right now, we might do it. But what they advise us to say as young people, let's just do what is right from the grassroots level, from the constituency, from the regional level, from the national level. No one doesn't recognize good work. So I think that also means that as a young person like myself, I've been part of the Abdullah Tirit Foundation. I've never dreamed of being in parliament. But when I go to meetings, some people say that, oh, Mr. Abdullah, we see the work that you are doing. The president already said that, Mr. Abdullah, for the past 6-7 years, we've been seeing your work that you are doing. Please, how can we offer you something like this? And I think the most important thing about the youth days when we had the demonstration, we had the young people from Eshipena, and then young people from different schools who also joined the International Youth Day in their uniform. That really sent a good message because we had a demonstration from multi-purpose center until we reached Yetama, and we also had the National Youth Service that were really leading the parade.
I've seen my colleague Happy Juju showed me some videos, very interesting videos. Okay. Now let us look at unemployment, and we also look at SME development. Apart from the youth fund, was there anything discussed regarding practical interventions of youth unemployment, or was there other things which are discussed to address the urgent issues of unemployment? I'm asking this question because when you look at the context that we are, particularly with the graduates that are already in the market, that are already not absorbed by the market, to say, where you have more than 10,000 education graduates and many other people. Was the issue of youth graduates or youth unemployment addressed at that conversation?
No, to be honest, unless I miss it, but to be honest, little of that was really discussed, to say that our youth graduates, it's more like really celebrating in the National Youth Day, but in a manner that was cultural. There were just speeches given, but in terms of addressing the real need of unemployment, really, it was not really addressed, because even the theme was local youth actions for SDGs and beyond. You see, for the SDGs and beyond.
Yeah.
You see, we have NDP6,
yeah.
But we are with the youth and beyond. So really, the theme was mostly speaking about
at the global level.
Everything. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Now, we celebrate National Youth Day, we celebrate International Youth Day. As a young person in Namibia and as somebody who has been in the field of youth development, you have been I know you are running an NGO. Now, what are those three things that you are saying as a Namibian? Is your personal view that we are celebrating about, that we are saying this was done good for young people, or these are what Namibian young people are doing well? What are some of those things that you think are worth celebration?
I think maybe the only thing that we celebrate as young people is maybe to the lives of the young people that are attending it. Even when you look at celebrating International Youth Day in Namibia, there's a lot of things like suicide, alcohol and substance abuse. There's a lot of things like unemployment that I've not hardly talked about. When you look at like every negative aspect in Namibia, it's really happening to young people. And then it's very heartening to really see how we are being converted to speeches. You know, how we're being converted to speeches, how you're being converted to T-shirts, how you're being converted with, but young people, they do not want that.
And
you know, when you talk about even our parliament, you talk about, to say about young people, for example, you look at countries like Botswana, when you talk about young people, it's visible in the parliament. But in Namibia, we are only like represented in terms of the word of mouth, but in terms of structural representative of young people, our problems are not being addressed. And until our government make us at the forefront, youth affairs. Look, for example, when you talk about our past Shangarero, our past minister of sport. You see, someone who's almost double over the age of the youth was presiding by youth affairs. Not this, but we need less people. Someone like Emma Theophilus. Those are the people that can occupy that minister of youth. Someone that is the youth bracket, because I can even go into Emma Theophilus' office without making an appointment. And I can even go and talk to him, like, from a youth perspective, not calling a comrade, not calling a that, and all that. So, suicide in Namibia, it's a high suicide rate in Namibia. Young people are taking their lives. And one of the problems that was not discussed, you know, I looked at, the Minister of Safety, the Minister of Safety, Security, Immigration, when they were doing this Lucia campaign, they were talking about this vape and Hubli, that young people are using it too much. But then I asked one of the members of that local, that means, like, these things are sold at the shelves of every, you see people selling them all over the country. But now our government is worried about the causes of vape and Hubli, that those things are sold there, and our Tobacco Act is silencing those ones. And then you find kids at schools smoking it. And what are the health hazards? But you see, why I'm using this example, David, is because that is what our government is. They will say they do not want this to happen, but being allowed to be sold.
Okay. Now, before I let you go, I want to ask, because, you know, there is always this thing of government, private sector, and all these things. But in your view and through your experience, what is that thing that young people, we are also not doing right? Because we can't just say everything must be done to us. There are also things that we are not doing right. If somebody has to ask you to say, what are some of the things that Namibian young people are also not doing right, or they need to work on, and for us to see and also to solve our issues that we have so much? You spoke about issues of suicide, issues of criminal activities, issues of unemployment,
issues of lack of participation, either politics and lack of interest. Because just before you come in, when you look at events like Asivai, for example, that is one of the most beautiful events that all the young people go there and enjoy themselves. But when you talk about events such as events which we are discussing investment, events which are discussing opportunity, you only see two or three. Even stakeholders' engagement with local authorities. I see the other day our mayor of City of Windhoek was complaining to say, no, guys, you are not showing up. But now, maybe let us get a picture to say, where are we also missing the point, especially as young people from Namibia?
Thank you very much for the question. The first thing of young people is that we compete in terms of in terms of engaging. And I always tell young people that like-minded talent should never compete, but they should always amplify. So young people, we should always amplify like-minded talents. We do not want to uplift each other. Let me give you an example in the music industry. You will see that when the young artist comes up and is there at the top, and he will ask another upcoming artist 30,000 just to future, because they don't want to take it. Won't kill you to just pull up another brother to be on the national stage. Look at how long has the Namibian artist have been shining. I don't want to mention names until they've retired from the youth. But how many young people have they pulled out? We have our local artists that has been coming, upcoming artists for the past 10 years, but we have big artists in Namibia that are killing the stages, but they're not even pulling up this. Secondly, we are ignorant. Ignorance is the biggest thing that we have as young people. We have misplaced priority. If you arrange a meeting right now, young people do not want to come. Secondly, young people, we don't want to read. We have NDP6, we have all sustainable, we have all these things, but you see a young person attending a meeting and raising their hands, we have missed priorities. That's why young people, and then lastly, also young people, we need to do something. Mm. You cannot just, it's not about what the government can do for us. What can we do for the government? David, sometimes as a young person, you might not have the resources to provide a service in your community, but you can do a saving, you can become up with data, and then you can recommend.
Even a volunteer, one thing I've seen through volunteering is that, when you volunteer, you don't just offer your service, you also building characters and also network, and also learn new skills, such as public speaking, project management, and all these things. And I think you've mentioned a very important point to say you must do something, act. Because when we are saying do something, we only think about money, but sometimes even that small change that you are making, I think to me, and also maybe to the community, it will bring change and also opening doors. Maybe we need to have one discussion about that aspect also one day.
Exactly, especially the judges on volunteering, because young people always want someone to do for them. I always tell people, David, the moment you're doing something, the world will open up for you. The moment you don't do anything, you close up the door. Let's say, David, today, if you start a car wash business, we'll know that you will need water, you will need... You see, if you start a bakery, we know what you need. If you start doing something in motivational speaking, we know how we can...
Are you eligible to vote but not yet a registered voter? Your time is now. Electoral Commission of Namibia invites all qualified citizens to take part in the supplementary registration of voters, which takes place from the 4th until the 19th of August 2025. These include those who turned 18 years after the previous registration of voters, all eligible Namibian citizens who are not yet in possession of a valid voter's card, citizens who have changed residence from one constituency or local authority to a different constituency or local authority. Democracy is not a spectator sport, it's all about taking part. Get involved. Step up for your right. Register to vote.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Yes, the conversation with me and Simon Adula will continue, particularly when we are reflecting back on the progress which have been made by young people in Namibia. What are the challenges? What are the things that young people are not doing right? And what was the main points
of, you know, celebrating of National Youth Day, and indeed International Youth Day, which, you know, is a day by United Nations designated to make sure that we discuss about issues and also look at how we can address issues of young people. And, yeah, the conversation is continuing, particularly in the area where what young people can do. So,
can meet you halfway, but the government, not even your own parents, will meet you halfway.
So,
what we need to do to every young person listening out there, stretch out your hand, identify yourself, let us know who you are, what you do. And I know the life sometimes can be very difficult. We are not saying do the negative things, we are not everything that you're doing right now, you must get paid. I know the temptation of paying the bills, you want to go steal, you want to go do something that is not right. But it's very important to be very patient. Sometimes, like you said, let us volunteer. In build up the skill. To be honest, like for me, I started working as a security guard. People used to laugh at me when I was working as a security guard, but everybody said, you are a former head boy, why are you working as a security guard?
Yeah.
And then, to be honest, the reason why there's a lot of unemployment, because our youth are very selective. I'm not saying...
And pride also, ne?
Pride, to be honest. I'm telling you, I was surprised when I met a young individual who has a hot degree in public management, working in a cleaning company. And she said, ask it, but why? Then she said, listen here, the appetite of employment is that you must keep eating even the smallest apple, and while you are watching your tree grow, I'm like, wow. Like you get the thing. That's what it means.
Yeah.
The best job that you have at that moment, remove your pride, get in there, clean the floor, smoke it, and it even opened up. You know, David, for me, when I was working as a security guard at Poop Cabbage Toyota, I was employed again at Poop Cabbage Toyota. You see, let's say if I had the pride and said, I'm not going to become a security guard. I could not have been employed. So to every young person listening out there, you might be a clean at FNB, but you did. Let's say you are a clean at FNB today. But you did finance. You did finance. You see? And they are looking for cleaners at FNB. Run.
Yeah.
If you did, they are looking for cleaners. You know that. You might be there as a cleaner, but when you know the management, when you know the people, you work your way up, you won't end up with problem. But the problem for us, we just want to be there. And then one of the most important things that we need to be young people, that we just need to be very safe. We need to take care of ourselves in terms of our mental health. And one of the problems that we do as young people, that most of our problems are in terms of alcohol and substance abuse. It's really proven that our productivity in terms of education, employment, It's a dropping, because David, the problem of young people, once you are involved in alcohol and substance abuse, you don't want to go to school, you don't want to go to work, you just want very fast money. So we have lost so many young people in terms of alcohol and substance abuse, and nobody speaks about it. It's very important that we really encourage young people to really say that they must stay away. And one of the most important advice I want to give them, on top of your qualifications, your skills, your experience, discipline and respect. Discipline and respect will open doors that your qualification will never open. And I will tell you, David, that your qualification will open the door for your Eagle FM. But your attitude and your resilience is the reason why you're still there. You get the point.
Okay, yes. Simon and Dora, I don't know how to thank you, but thank you for your time. Thank you for joining us this morning. Thank you very much for your contribution, and I hope we have more engagement, particularly when it's coming to youth development. And thank you once again, and continue doing what you are doing.
So thank you.
All right, cool. Yes, that was the conversation with Simon Handura. Particularly when we are looking at the reflection of celebration of National Youth Day in Namibia and also International Youth Day. And they spoke about a lot of relevant issues, especially when it's coming to young people and development. He also spoke about advice from those young people who are in power. To say, no, we don't only look at the parliament, but it's quite a point which need to be analyzed, to say, no, when you are there, you don't want us to come there. But nevertheless, what are the young people doing? Are they focusing on the agenda of young people? And the other time I ask, what is the commonality of youth agenda, regardless of political parties? What can we say? This is where we are meeting and this is what we need to address.
Hello?
Mr. David.
Yes, sir. How are you?
I think we can now digest and analyze your interview with Simon.
Mm.
Yeah, yes. So in that particular conference,
yeah,
I don't know what you are saying. You say it's a youth summit.
No, it's an International Youth Day.
And you are saying that issue of unemployment, issue of suicide facing men or young men, especially men, issues of development of whatever kind, be it social development, political, economic, or whatever.
Mm.
You are saying that those things were not discussed? Is that what I'm getting from him?
Yeah, he said that was not the agenda. It
was apart from those two sides and all this other thing.
Yeah, it was not discussed. But just celebration. Then the question is that when we are what are we celebrating about, particularly Namibian young people, if we are not discussing about those issues?
I thought the celebration is centered on the achievement.
No. Celebration. Celebration is the same. It's not only about achievement. It's like commemoration. You are celebrating.
So commemoration, celebration of the achievement that have been made by the youth.
And the challenges.
Whether you are starting from the, I don't think commemoration. It's the same thing. You understand?
Yeah.
We commemorate those things. Listen, let me tell you something briefly.
Yeah.
So in the many other institutions, like us, suicide. I don't know the organization that is running. Maybe it could be an NGO.
Yeah.
And if it's running an NGO, I'm sure they are also part of the stakeholder that discuss about issues of suicide, of unemployment, and all many other problems that are faced.
Mm.
By the youth and the people in society in general.
Yeah.
So now, are they not working together with even Minister of Youth or any other partner or any other stakeholder that address, for example, Minister of Gender?
It's a good question.
So they have got activities, UN, so the major one is called Men engaged. The structures in the community there are there and all these things. Of course, they need to improve in many other areas. All those things we're not discussing.
No, it was more on the youth fund. Apparently, young people are asking to say, what study do you come up with, particularly when you come to youth fund, and how this money going to be fairly distributed? What is the accountability part and transparency?
So they were told how to go about that.
No, the young people were asking.
Yes.
They were asking about.
When they were asking those questions, were the questions that posed not answered?
No, what they said in terms of answer. That one, he did not speak about it, but just based on the discussion to say young people, they are more concerned. It's like
that thing was a global thing. Maybe the comparative analysis can be say, yes, Botswana is doing well is because they have this and that. Maybe benchmarking from those countries that are doing well.
Mm.
If you are not doing well, I know we are not doing well. Mm. So we need to do more.
Mm.
But as I tell you, like you said, young people don't go to those meetings.
Mm.
If they don't go to those meetings, how do you expect them to get information, the relevant information that you facilitate the access to funding and all these things? I'm just questioning now. Because I know whenever you have those public lectures and things like that,
even
at non-power day or whatever, you find it empty.
Mm.
But the comedians who are also talking important things, they are shown like nobody's business. You know that big hall, that hall, that UNAM hall, the main one.
Mm-hmm.
So now it is, if we cannot lead or use this open door policy that has been crafted long time ago. I mean, you know, I don't give people normally appointment when I work.
Okay.
They come in flexible because it's an open door policy that has been crafted for a long time ago. So you knock there, of course, you do the, you know, people must be done according to the protocol.
Okay.
So you can easily call, or if you happen to get into the office of the PS or whoever, and then there is some references that can be done, it's not a problem. So what I wanted to hear from Simon, and I think I'm somehow challenging him now.
it's a good thing.
At least, go in the community, or go into the ministry of many of these institutions, especially UN agencies. You know, those are the ones that can really help. I don't know what he's doing. So you say the organization is to deal with what? Just youth.
Yeah, youth development, even helping the...
That's what is leading and managing.
Yeah.
So, and the program for the youth that they have, can they not also incorporate them somehow? Because we have a lot of NGOs that work with the institution. Even when we sit in those meetings, a lot of those stakeholders, people come from. So he's in a good position to make sure that we want to hear the kind of program that he's working with and how he can strategically partner with those other people who are doing, maybe not to duplicate the work, and to see how they can harmonize and coordinate the activity properly. So I think it's a challenge because global meeting of that nature,
Just before I let you go, because there was one international delegate to say, how are you Namibian dealing with a congested ministry with a lot of responsibilities? How can attention of young people being, being given, especially when you have a ministry which has national function, about five national functions, if you are looking at it now, how is that going to address the issue of young people? What do you think about that?
And then our response was,
just somebody gave a point from outside and say, no, guys, you have...
Then the response would have been, it's okay, there are those structures that we have spoken about, this youth development, this other funding. If you go to Development Bank of Namibia, for example, there, I always go there and read some youth there. You know, they tell you, these are artisans. This one is forever. In different kind of economic sector.
No. The question was, how come you have, like our Minister of Education, when you are looking at it, it's education, innovation, youth, art and culture. Then the question was, is it that not too much? Is it going to be given attention to young people if you have education?
That's not too much.
Yeah.
Too much, you are giving them too much.
That's not too much to manage, like when you combine ministries. Because the current ministry that we have for youth is a ministry of education, which contains basic and higher education. Then we have innovation, youth, sport, art and culture.
Yes.
Now the concern was here to say.
Well, you want them to be codified or somehow
The question is that not too much for a minister to manage, and how are the attention of young people, which is
the minister gives direction and promote the vision and all these things. There are managers, the executive directors are there, and there are other managers, different level. So if the vision is too big enough to be carried out, to be promoted, I don't think it's easy, because those things, innovation, education, so those are serving mostly the same client, isn't it? And if you are coming up with it, yesterday we were talking about research and development. How to innovate now, those kind of bringing up those initiatives.
Yeah.
And these are the basic one. The basic one, you start from the ground, isn't it? So those are young ones, these are children, these are youth, these are adults. So what is, let them coordinate. If there's a mismatch in terms of coordination, maybe that one can be addressed.
Yeah.
But in terms of too much to manage or to lead, Well, maybe I don't think it's a really challenge.
Because when you look at it, you must also get a bit of sense of it. Because when you have, for example, basic education, you have basic education, you are dealing with schools and all those things, you have budget and all those things. Then you have high education, you just deal with high education, institutions.
Okay.
And remember, with high education...
I think the reason why perhaps they did that, they also, they might have considered a lot of issues. Okay, but all I'm saying is that provided there's no duplication in what they are doing, the resources, proper coordination is there.
Yeah.
And even himself, like I said, he can create or enhance some kind of partnership with the, what is it, with other stakeholders who are doing the same thing, especially minister of those ministries. Then you come up with some kind of memorandum of understanding and see how they can work together with the ministry, perhaps. So thank you very much. I'm just doubting.
No. Thank you.
Did not address a lot of issues of youth.
Yeah. Thank you for your contribution. Always
welcome.
Yes. We are moving forward with Early Morning Scoop. We have around 28 minutes before we come to the end of our conversation, and it's a concern from somebody from outside who said, is that the ministry not too big? And I don't want us to go back, just to reflect on it and to see how which priorities we should give much attention. Because when you look, for example, at basic education and higher education itself, you deal with high education institutions. Not only those one, you deal with SOEs within those, education, high educations, training, research, a lot of things. Then you have the basics. And it's very critical, very tough. But I hope there will be proper coordination and management of the integrated ministry with huge responsibilities. And at the same time, address the issues of the Namibian youth, and also how the Namibian youth should assist themselves in addressing issues. Because Adura raised a very important point to say, you know, it's not only about what you can do for the government, it's also what you can do. It's not about what the government can do for you, it's also what you can do for the government. He spoke about ignorance to say, no, a lot of young people, we are very ignorant. We do not read. We just do not read. Because it pains me when you post something just on your social media about it's economic development. It's issues of national development. When you just post something like this, when you post something on Facebook, on Twitter, on Instagram, regarding economic development, regarding opportunities, regarding further studies, few to know a young person who can go through and ask you for more information, or even follow up, or even comment on that. But when somebody post a nude just by mistake, when somebody post a meme, when somebody post something, somebody in trouble, then you see reactions from all the young people, all walks of life. And looking at the situation that we are in now, sometimes we may also think that Is it because we are also not doing enough? Is it because we are also a bit ignorant? Is it because we are also not able to read? Because for you to ask questions, Because let's talk, for example, the issue of oil and gas. Oil and gas have a lot of opportunities, but they will not just come to us. They will not just come to us. We need to read, and we also need to understand. Then we ask right questions to say, don't just go there, say, no, I have a qualification, I want a job. What can you do in the oil and gas sector? What can you do in the oil and gas sector? Because if you are not reading, how are you going to get information? I'm telling you, I'm sending you the Villager newspaper because you are a student of economics, so that you can get your source right when you are referencing your academic paper. You can expand your research. You can expand the way you reason academically, particularly in that field. But you don't read. Sometimes it's also us young people who are putting ourselves in trouble. But how do you get information if you don't read? People are saying, these are the fellowships, these are the, you know, training programs. This is where you can get funds. This is how the business is being done. Or just to say, is a national budget coming out? No one is interested. No one is interested. No one even contributed to the debate. Look at, if you want to prove me wrong, look at issues of, for example, where there have been a lot of debates about repo rates, to say no, ask your partner that you have about repo rate, and you see who you are dealing with. It was just a joke. But it's not only about repo rate, it's just about important matters that matters to our life, to say, if we want to get out of these problems as young people, we also need to do something. We also need to make sure that something is being done. And also the issues of volunteering. You know, it's very difficult to work without being paid, especially when you are volunteering. It's very, very difficult, but it's very important to do something when you do not have, something to do, because that is you are building skill, and you are also serving the community that you are finding yourself in. And this it's quite very important. Because it's not only about what you do, it's also about how you do it and how you get interacted with those people. And also the issue of pride. We have pride. We have pride of a lion which does not want to eat a prey that it did not kill. We have that pride, particularly as young people. See, a man is a former head boy. Went to university, things did not work out. Then he said, why should I not become a security guard? It's a very easy job. Sometimes. Very easy job sometimes. Depends on where you are. Then people are asking, why you were a former head boy, then you become a security guard? Then he said, no, this is an opportunity I got. And it's not defining where I'm going to be. It's not defining how I'm going to be my whole life. So just that, join the workforce, just pride of what people are saying. People will not put bread on your table. Will not do that. Because sometimes we have opportunity to do something, but just because of pride, we say, no, I'm not going to do that because of what. But sometimes it's also us young people that there's something that we are also not doing right, because if we don't do that, then it will not work out. But I also have questions, because a lot of politicians now, they are saying, no, young people, you guys are not coming to meetings. You are not coming to meetings. You are not coming to public gathering. You are not coming to state of regional address. You are not coming to city of pre-stakeholders engagement. Sometimes it's also the system that we have. Maybe young people are also tired of coming to meetings, but nothing come out. Where people have been showing up to meetings for the past 20 years. But nothing came out. Maybe the relevance of meetings also lost value. I know it's very crucial. But maybe the relevance of that lost value in their perspective, to say, it's better for me to go to a bar and watch soccer than attending a meeting. Maybe that is their thinking, which is wrong actually. But there's also something that needs to be done from the end of those who are in charge of providing service. Because one thing we have seen, especially with political leaders, and also those who are running developmental institutions, hosting a meeting, taking pictures and videos and showing that you are doing something, and showing that you are doing something, then you go and present your reports. Happen with also NGOs, showing that you are doing work, but there's nothing which is coming. You will see people, the turnout will show you the feelings of people to say, I've been coming to your meetings. I've been coming to your meetings about discussing land. I've been coming to your meetings about discussing housing. I've been coming to your meetings about discussing young people opportunity. But for the past 10 years or so, same conversation, what we need to do, and nothing came out. It could be maybe that is what have happened. You know, a lot of things have happened. You know, town hall meetings have happened, engagement, moving around the country, town hall meetings. People discuss issues. Issues were critically discussed. But does that mean that when problems are not solving, you should not come to meetings anymore? No. Conversation must always be there, because although there is a lot of conversation, must always be there, because conversation is where we are going to see what went wrong. And also conversations about real conversations and conversation about actions. Conversations about actions. What can we do to develop our country? You know, there's a lot of debates in South Africa now regarding the national dialogue. The president decided with his executive to say, no, we are going to have a national dialogue. We're going to discuss issues of South Africa and what South Africans are facing. And discuss issues. And there is an estimation of around 700 million rand, which will be used in hosting those, youth dialogues, and national dialogue rather. Hosting those national dialogues. And the question that you're asking yourself is that, why on earth, sometimes the problem, we already know where the problem is. Let us just go and act. Let us just go and act. Because when we act, it's more easier for us when we act. Because if we continue to discuss, national dialogues about problems, discussing about problems, but there's no actions, we'll not get there. We'll not, get there. And looking at we have around 17 minutes before we come to the end of our conversation. However, you can engage us at 083-288-401, 083-288-401. You can ask your questions, give your contribution, because we know the issues of developmental affairs are issues which are cutting across. And looking at what our guests have said, especially when it's coming to youth development and also addressing the issues of young people, it looks like we are not yet there. We are not yet there in coming up with real deals on how to address youth issues. And the question also to say, those who get in front, what are they doing? Those who get in front, what are they doing? There was a time in Namibian history where a lot of young professionals, particularly from early 2000 to 2010-14, there, where a lot of young professionals were groomed. A lot of young professionals were groomed and given opportunities. From the period of the late founding father coming through to the period of the administration of Tate Pohamba to the end of the period of Tate Pohamba, and also a little bit, where a lot of young professionals were groomed. Look at academia, for example. Look at the generation of 1976, the generation of 1976, the generation of 1979 and the 1980. Look at them. What have happened? Look at politics, look at corporate affairs. A lot of them were groomed. I don't want to mention them, but if you look at the fish, the fish rot scandal, you'll be able to understand what I'm trying to talk about. But when you look at academia, for example, a lot of people who are leading that institution are young people. Ask yourself, how old is the Chancellor of University of Namibia? I'm sorry to expose this. It's our former school principal. How old is he? It's a young man. It's a young man. Compared to the Namibian university, very young. He was not in exile. He's a young person who is given an opportunity and took it. And the level of wisdom in him, the leadership also, you can't match it. There are those young people who are given opportunity, who are at the forefront and they are showing light. Even the vice chancellor of NASTED, the very young people took over. But the majority of young people who were put in front, majority of them did not show commitment, and they did not show ethical conduct that would, and they also blocked our ways to move to move, because the line is long. The fish rod, let me take the caller. Hello.
I just want to confirm something from you, not from you actually.
Yeah.
Just to confirm. And then maybe say, you see, like you said, I know even though those, most of those institutions might not be ours, but like you said, if you look at the generation, the era,
yeah,
they think they are being read and managed, especially in management, by young people.
Yeah,
they are, of course. Mm. So you are talking about, I can give you a development of Namibia, used to be in by youth. Talk about Namfisa, talk about GIPF, even currently, those were youth. Talk about even many, many, many institutions.
Yeah.
Now, when you look at as we celebrate, they celebrated their efforts, their achievement.
Mm.
Of course, despite notwithstanding the current challenges that are faced by youth now, which need to be addressed seriously.
Mm.
So, but all those institutions, us during school time, we were not that much young, but they were younger than us. So, but they were there running those institutions which were only occupied by the white colleagues. Even the countrymen that were there, they were only occupied by our colleagues.
Yeah.
Now, it came in, when the youth now were getting in. Polytechnic, those one kicked, continue.
Yeah.
So now, this time around, what are the current challenges that we are facing? We address them in terms of funding, in terms of accessing information, like you are saying, social research and development, and read and attend meetings.
But the question I'm asking is also that, how can, you know, sometimes you attend meetings for 20 years, you get old, you start to doing your other hassles also, to say, no, I've been attending meetings about housing, but the line of me getting access to a cheapest house is very difficult. Why should I come to your meeting again?
You want to surrender.
It's not surrendering. I'm just saying a human being reach a level of disencouragement, and also a point of saying, why should I do this instead of doing another thing? Which is also wrong, because the institution must also ask to say, why are people not showing up? The other time, the mayor of Zitu Venduk said, no, guys, you are not showing up to stakeholders' engagement. Maybe the question is, why are people not showing up? What is behind it? Do they really don't want development or what?
I understand the stress can be discouraging. But when you get discouraged, they are advised to be more courageous, more bold enough. So if you get discouraged now, in the way, you fall on the west side. When you fall on the west side, you might be thinking the thoughts of suicide and all these things will then come in.
Yeah.
So don't be discouraged. Like you say, volunteerism. Volunteerism, I don't know which generation that perhaps started without volunteering. So many, many of those ones, we can learn those good lessons, appropriate them to our life, Let's not get discouraged. Because when you look at, you follow the history that I'm telling you now, I know them personally. We were together, starting together.
Yeah.
I know how they are leading this institution.
Yeah.
So just look at GIPF and many, many, many other ministries.
Yeah.
I can tell you, even our children, they got in there, they always say, yeah, you must be politically connected. Who told you? I don't say anything to my children.
Mm-hmm.
All I'm saying is that you get this way, you get in this other level. I don't. I find them in there, this system already.
Yeah, but
I have never spoken to any other.
Yes, but.
So let me be discouraged, my brother. Eh?
Yeah, yeah.
Good.
Thank you.
Welcome.
Yes, our uncle said, let us not be disencouraged. However, we must, it's not a matter of really being disencouraged. It's a matter of finding an alternative way of addressing issues. I was talking about, you know, for example, the Chancellor of University of Namibia. He's a youth, not only in terms of the act. It's not in terms of the act, but it's a youth looking at the Namibian generation of young people. But the crash of or the generation of 1977 upward there, when you look at when most of them were completing their university around 2000, 2003, 2004, 2005 there, but most of them, they moved up, but not most of them who showed trust in those who were having real power, particularly in terms of politics and the economy. That's why, if you look at what happened, like the Fishrod scandal, for example, you'll be able to understand. Go look at the Fishrod scandal. Look at the accused there. Look at their age range. Look at what they were doing. Look at the professional training that they got. And, you know, and also compare to the current situation that we have. Compare to the generational gap that we have now. Go to the workforce. Look at the generational gap. Now, when you ask yourself this question. Somebody who was born in 1990 is 35 years old. And somebody who was born in 1994, for example, is 31. And where are majority of the 90s people? Where are they? Maybe 1990 to 1993 there. Most of them, they were absorbed by the system. But what happened from 2017 there in our system, where university started producing a lot of graduates, but opportunities started to become, you know, less and less. Where are these people? And what will happen to them? Because it's time in our history that we need to look at with both eyes, and we need to handle it very well. Because if you don't handle it very well, it also impact the way the institutions are operating, because you have a lot of them if it's not handled very well. But let us not go there. How can we deal with this situation? Because we don't need to go back to the drawing board anymore. We just need to deal with the situation now, because time is not waiting for anybody. Problems are not solved in the boardroom, they are solved in the field. Yesterday I was just talking about Toby Obindi complaining about ineffectiveness at one of the green schemes. Green schemes are there, management is out of order. How can we address these issues? We are talking about expanding of green schemes, absorbing a lot of young people. A lot of young people are attending trainings. They look at the National Youth Service. Look at the application to the National Youth Service. Young people are showing up. They are really showing up, but there's a lot of questions that we need to ask. Maybe it's how we distribute our resources. Maybe it's the issue of oil and gas. Because remember, when you see somebody from United Arab Emirates coming to Namibia, know that you have something of value. Those guys who are wearing white clothes, when they come to your country, it means a lot. It means that they is wealthy. when we see somebody from Qatar coming to Namibia for a conference about oil and gas, they don't play. They mean business. As the Americans, guys from the Gulf, they mean business. But the question that we need to ask ourselves is that we have oil, oil is there. Then we are on the defensive mode to say, no, okay, let us see how we can distribute these resources. But the question is that, what are those who are having power, particularly the power of negotiation, particularly the power of framing, the legal framework on how to deal with oil business, what are they going to do? Are they going to think about themselves, or are they going to think about where Namibia is going to be in the next 20 years? Because that is a very big question. Because if they think about themselves, they can compromise, they can sell our generation. If they think about themselves, they can get their kickbacks. Then we end up with 3-4%. We get the jobs, no influence, few percentage, less than 5% in our own industry. Then we are finished. If we don't do that, then we become like other countries. DRC is the things are there, you can see with your own eyes. DRC is there, Libya is there, Iraq is there. The list can go on. But for us young people to make sure that we also grab this opportunity with both eyes, with both hands, and also with respect, let us read, let us get into oil and gas, let us go into green hydrogen, let us bombard these people with questions. Because anytime I meet a young person and ask me about green hydrogen, I give Jonah Musheko's number to say, no, talk to this guy. Say I send him. Talk to this guy, talk to him. He's the one who is in charge of disseminating information. And any guy talk about green hydrogen, I give Musheko's number. And that is his job, to make sure that you clarify information and also how you can assist. You know, I'll give you this number. He's a manager for stakeholders engagement. But don't just abuse it. I'm giving you this number. Yeah, because information matters. But how many of them use that number correctly and ask information? I doubt. So, dear listeners, thank you very much for listening to Early Morning Scoop with me, David Shombe. Today we were talking about International Youth Day. What is the state of Namibian youth? What are some of the achievements that have been done for the past 35 years? What are the challenges? What is the way forward? How can the young people fully partake in local economic development? What is the way forward? And what are some of the views from the public, from international, looking at Namibia? And we touched a little bit on Namibia resource redistribution. Namibia resource distribution, and also the discovery of oil and the ongoing conference on oil and gas. Very interesting. Guys, go to the website of Namibia Economic Association of Namibia. Go and read, download those documents. See where you can. If you don't understand, ask for translations. You don't need to understand everything. Ask, what is this picture showing? Who is speaking about what? You don't need to know everything. Ask questions. And that is the only way that we are going to own our own resources, because people are going. Age is not something to play with. Generations are going. And we need to be.
From sunrise to supper time, Namib Mills is there, feeding the nation with care, quality, and heart.
We believe food is more than nourishment. It's dignity. It's hope. It's the start of a better tomorrow.
Through sustainable production processes, job creation, and affordable, nutritious food, Namib Mills is driving economic growth one plate at a time. Because when we say feeding the nation,
we mean uplifting lives,
empowering communities, and building a future where no one is left behind.
Namib Mills, proudly Namibian,
passionately feeding the nation.
Namib Mills, feeding the nation.
Yes, the time is exactly 8 o'clock, and we are about to come to the end of our conversation. And what you are indicating is that in terms of generations are going, and we are also getting old. Generations are going, and we are also getting old. If you look at Namibian politics, for example, if you look at Namibian politics in the next 10 years, you will not find the liberation veterans who are active in Namibian politics. That is a reality, and it's up to us to think about that. But thank you very much for listening to Business to Early Morning Scoop, and I'm going to leave you in the good hands of Mike Oshoveri. I'm going to give the mic to Mike to unpack the day. So bye-bye for now.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary.
Twitter, Facebook, Instagram and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud. So
not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person that does not have a capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past.
Mm.
And it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Omudia, utekirwa kaguna, imatina, omjo. Chikawa shafasa nanana, nongeshifa, ya, ishiwike moshiwana. Iye moyawo, ota ingongo tisamwene. Anangeshifa, ya Namibia, ombitombwa na wa oronjika. Seitha nina omayakuro, nirandisoma, yue, yongeshifa yoye kupitira mo, Eagle FM Media House. Ngwe, tuende tuimemeha, ukakombanga nina. Kara omkwashi pareki uimwepo yo mo programa letu. Moambo, dengira selma, kodara heta tuimu. Datu, heari hamano tano, oaniyaji. Eagle FM, the eye.